You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second now. Thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Yeah, that's a lot better than Monday. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it isn't accommodating for you to do it, and it must be done, it has to be done, and you will get it done, and you will do it safely. That's right. Continue to wear those masks. If your choice was to get a shot, so be it. If your choice was not to get a shot, so be it. Continue to be safe. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to keep your distance and keep your damn hands clean. All right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on the Time for an Awakening media lineup. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. That is followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Muia Kambon and Nataki Kambon. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then also on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, when you go on the website, they're still seeking donations to establish a American African supermarket here in the Atlanta area. We don't have a supermarket that is our own. I know, wherever you're calling from, you're saying, that's a damn shame with all those so-called black folks in Atlanta, and y'all don't have a supermarket.
Hell, we don't even have a service station with a convenience store. We have one, but not in Atlanta. It's in the metro area, and I can't remember where, but only one. But we should have literally hundreds. We Buy Black. Africa for the Africans. My good brother Bomani Tahima is ready to take another group of our people to the motherland. You go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and check out everything that you need to make that a trip of a lifetime is on the website. Even if you don't go with him, you'll still need to check out what the information is, the registrations, the shots, and so forth, the visas, and what have you. But he does have a trip upcoming next month, April 2nd through the 12th, going to Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 18th through the 29th, Tanzania. December 24th to January 5th, 2022, Ghana. And these trips, you can be on them. Put a deposit down, pay for it monthly where it doesn't, you don't have to drop a whole load of bread and make it happen. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check it out, brothers and sisters. If you want to see pictures, go to If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Renoko Rashidi, he has a webinar next week, Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th. Continue on a journey to Nubia with Renoko. Part one of this, actually it's part three, but the first part of part three will be Friday the 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And then part two will be Saturday morning, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And that is Nubia, a journey to Nubia. So put in Dr. Renoko, go to drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. And you know, Renoko's an outstanding presentations, visual presentations. I mean, he's, once again, a primary researcher. He's been all over the world. Habeshaw, Habeshaw Incorporated, HabeshawIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. They also have a program, Refi, Repatriation Initiative, an 18-month step-by-step program coming home. And this program, I tell you, it sounds good. It looks good. And some people could take advantage of it. But, you know, they have done outstanding work, Habeshaw Incorporated, locally here in the Atlanta area and on the continent, locally with Sustainable Seeds, Habeshaw Works, Golden Growers, you know, Urban Green Jobs, Black to Our Roots, you know. So it's a six-month online program, 12 months in Ghana. Course topics include all kinds of good stuff, language and culture, sustainable building, I mean, everything. Go to HabeshawIncorporated.org to find out if you would want to take part in this particular project. And once again, the Kashi project that they have ongoing to build that community in Ghana. So HabeshawIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group. They're working in the four areas that help sustain people of food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in over six countries and 172 employed with over 260 members. You can become a member, too, of the Ledge Group. Bibi Atumi. BibiAtumi.com. Go to BibiAtumi.com. Everything you will need to discuss about what's happening with African people, it is, to me, you should go to BibiAtumi.com and make that one of the places that you always go to check out what's happening. Every Saturday, they have a Saturday seminar series. And this Saturday, the Saturday seminar series is Repatriation and Retribution. Reparations, excuse me, and redistribution. And that's going to be this Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific time. That's a.m. So 9 a.m. And then, but go to abibiatumi.com, hit events, and you can become a part of it. All right. Odada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Odada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located at 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Delicious smoothies, vitality drinks, and pastries, all kinds of good stuff at Odada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore is now a new location in the Greenbrier Mall. It's a larger location. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. If you are in the area of here in Atlanta and in the area off of Highway 166, there's the exit right there, and you're right there at Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu. Black Dot Cultural Center in Lithonia. Check them out. All right. Us Lifting Us. The Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. My guest today will be Baba Akima of Us Lifting Us. So we'll go into detail about they just had their conference, and we just had our conference. And so let's check what Baba Akima has to say and what's going to be happening with Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or Cooperative Economics, or Family-Centered Economics, as we like to say. Sangata Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall in Booth 225. That's right. For more information, contact our good sister, Shally Amonsat, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. That's Sangata Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And believe me, they got all kind of good stuff. Good stuff for grooming, candles, incense, clothing, t-shirts. Check them out. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabby Ariel, in doing outstanding work in Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. The beautiful children and the education, the health care, the sustainable agriculture, the entrepreneurship. Just an outstanding program, outstanding project, deserves to be supported. There's a lot that deserves to be supported that I bring to this radio program all the time, because I want us to support us. And we'll talk more about that with Baba Akima. Akaban Institute, Baba Barudi and Mama Ya Barudi, they, of course, would love your support. Send a check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But of course, very few people do that. I do it, but it's easier, of course, to use PayPal or Cash App. So go to Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, if you want to get books by Baba Barudi, go to akabenhouse.com, akabenhouse.com, and you can order books right off the website, akabenhouse.com. All right. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 16th. To deculturalize American African children is therefore, to deprive them of that which determines the way they think, feel, and behave. I'll read that again. To deculturalize American African children is, therefore, to deprive them of that which determines the way they think, feel, and behave. Felix Botton. Teach the babies. Teach them the truth. Teach them our truth. Teach them that they are our ancestors, that they are their ancestors. Teach them that they are our future. Teach them to never settle. Teach them to be African sovereignists. Teach our children to politically distinguish between wants and needs, or they, like so many of the adults around them, will ever be ruled by the suicidal appetites instilled in them by others. Teach them to think before acting and to act on their thinking. Teach them to be African. Affirm, I enculturalize African children. Affirm, I enculturalize African children. March 17th. Pain is not the problem. Pain is the message. Nana Kwaku Opara. We fail to develop the real genius we need to win because the struggle component is missing. As a result, in order to still give the appearance of strength, we redefine what genius is based on a weaker idea. How quickly we have forgotten that struggle strengthens, doubt drains. Be the warrior you claim to be, and be not judgmental of our own. When measuring the progress of others, never forget where you once were. Every warrior has a starting point that lies deep in the heart of chaos. Every journey to our center started in an awakening from menticide. Only the arrogant measure others without a credible point of reference. And arrogance is the bastard child of disorder, not a characteristic of centered warriors. Let the struggle our ancestors confronted and conquered under conditions more horrific than any before or since be the measuring rod for the quality and relevance of complaints we lodge against our frontline difficulties today. Affirm, I listen to my pain. Affirm, I listen to my pain. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Inye Sasim. Yeah. So we're going to be talking today with Baba Akima of Us Lifting Us. And they just completed their conference this past weekend. And so I'm looking forward to talking with Baba Akima. And I don't see him on the queue yet, so I know he'll be on shortly. I told him about 11:30, and of course it's just now that. So I'm patiently waiting for Baba Akima. But one thing that, you know, I've been a member of Us Lifting Us even before I arrived here in Atlanta, and I've been here now. In October, it'll be 7 years. And because I understand that everything that happens with us must be coming from a collective standpoint. It must be coming from us, that we do for us. That any monies that come into us must be circulated within our community before it ever goes out. But because we have lost that ability, and because we have, you know, there's a fork in the road, right? You're coming down a road, and once you reach that fork in the road, a decision must be made. Which way do I go? I say that the fork in the road has happened to us as an African people here in this country a number of times. And we have been conveniently steered in a direction that did not benefit us. we've been conveniently steered in a direction that did not benefit us. Instead of choosing liberation and self-determination, you know, we chose integration and assimilation. And of course, the integration and assimilation was met by the Europeans, even though they steered us in that direction, was met by the Europeans with such disdain and disgust and such fervor, you know. Man. Let me see if this is Baba Kima. Baba Kima? 678-678-6228. Ah, okay. We have Baba Kima. Baba Kima, good morning.
Good morning to you, brother.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Just trying to keep up with you.
Yeah. Well, you do. You already passed me, brother, because I'm.
No, man, I understand you do this Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's speedo.
Well, I try my best to do what I can every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. I try my best to put something on our people's minds.
There you go.
And I always promote us lifting us, because I believe that it is the answer, one of the components of the answer to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And so tell me about the conference this past weekend. How did it go?
Well, it went well. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we had secured the services of a team of sisters out of Chicago to back us up technically, and so they navigated us on through the 3 days. We were together Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the internet. Of course, this is the first year that we did not come together face to face. That's not correct. Let me back up, because we didn't come together last year face to face because of COVID.
Right. We were right there. We were at Morris Brown. We had all the food there. We had everything. Everything was ready for us to go ahead. Then the university said no because of COVID. Yeah. No activities.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And hopefully next March we'll be together face to face. But it was a good session. We were able, because it was online, we were able to get a good number of our members in Ghana to come to the conference. And then we had people scattered out throughout the U.S. And so it may be that next year we'll do face-to-face and virtual.
Yeah.
Because some of our people just can't come.
Right.
And with technology, we can nominate and vote and do polls and surveys through internet, but we can still have the benefit of those who can make it to come together face to face. So it was a good session. We will, for our members, we will edit the footage and put a good bit of it on our website. There may be sections that we can crop out and edit, and then upload them to our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
I think the presentation on Friday with Ezra Aharon on sovereignty, I think that could be cropped out and made a separate video. I think maybe the presentation on Sister Evans with the Glock coin, the cryptocurrency that's founded by us, I think that could be cropped out and made a separate video. And there may be others. Brother Oshi, it went well. And, of course, you started us off, like you always do, with libation. And that got us in the right frame of mind. And we just carried through.
Ashe. Ashe. Beautiful. And I'm on the website now, and there's a piece on the website that I've listened to that I want to play for the listeners. I think it's a very key piece. And so I thought I could get it on my tablet, but I didn't. But I got it on my computer, so I got to move the microphone. So I want our listeners to listen to this, and I want you to give comment to it. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
Durham, North Carolina is a place which the world instinctively associates with tobacco. It has, however, other claims to notice. Today, there is a singular group in Durham where a black man may get up in the morning from a mattress made by black men in a house which a black man built out of lumber which black men cut and planed. He may put on a suit which he bought at a colored haberdashery and socks knit at a colored mill. He may cook victuals from a colored grocery store on a stove which black men fashioned. He may earn his living working for colored men, be sick in a colored hospital, and buried from a colored church. And the Negro Insurance Society will pay his widow enough to keep his children in a colored school. This is surely progress.
That was Du Bois in 1912, upbuilding of Black Durham. And you know, that community stayed solid for the Hittite community in Raleigh-Durham, stayed solid all the way up until the Model Cities program that ran expressways through successful and entrepreneurial American African communities across the country. I know it did in Milwaukee as well. You know, the expressway runs right through your community. And so now, you know, what you just heard, brothers and sisters, and correct me if I'm wrong, Baba Kima, there is not one place in this country where we can say we have a self-contained community that provides the needs and necessities of the brothers and sisters within that community. We don't have it. I mean, you know, I've been talking about on this program for years, you know, We Buy Black, you know, promoting it, and they're trying to get a supermarket. I know we talked with them. I know I did I can't remember my brother's name right off the hand from We Buy Black, but wanting him to come with us. He did attend, I think the last one we had in person, he did attend that conference with us. But, you know, their whole emphasis at this time, aside from what they do online, is to pull money together to build a supermarket, because we don't even have a damn supermarket in Atlanta or even a metro Atlanta area.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that particular video is very powerful. It's short. And but it's impactful because I think when you listen to it carefully and you begin to count the number of bounces for the black dollar or the turns, you get up to about 15 just in that little video.
Right, right.
And that particular video and piece that W.E. Du Bois wrote is very special for me personally, because in 1962, as a freshman and a part of the freshman class at North Carolina Central University in Durham, we went as a part of our orientation. We were bused to downtown Durham, escorted to the top floor of the tallest building in the city, And that building and business was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. You remember in the video they talked about the Negro Insurance Society?
Right. Yeah.
It became North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company, the largest, the biggest financial services business owned by Africans in the world. So at that time in the world. So that part of Durham was called Haiti, and you mentioned it, as they were influenced by the Haitian Revolution. So hence the name Haiti. And on a personal level, my family and I moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta in 1981. And when we came to Atlanta, there was a discount airline flying out of Atlanta called Atlanta Air. The primary financial backer of that airline was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. They're still around. The airline is not around, but of course North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company is still around. It's still, it doesn't hold the prominence that it held at that time. But it just shows you what we have done and what we can still do. But you're right. An intact community where we dominate commercially in this country just does not exist because we haven't had the mindset to make it happen. And I think in this time, more and more of us are coming around to that thought and appreciation, but it's going to take concerted efforts on brothers and sisters who have an engineer in mind and long term to go ahead and put the elements together and make it attractive enough for those of us who would want to support that, and a lot of us do. It's just that the core elements are still being built. Yeah. But I really appreciate you playing that that clip. That's a powerful little short video.
Yes, it is. Only less than 2 minutes, man, but it is impactful because what Du Bois was saying at that time does not happen now, you know, which is very frustrating because here we are, more of us, and more money we have, but yet it doesn't circulate within our community. It doesn't build anything for us. It comes into our hands and goes right back out. So when people talk about the wealth that we have, it's basic. It's just consumer wealth. Buy this, buy that, you know?
And if I could, let's think about Durham, the clip that you just played, or Haiti. Or we can look at Atlanta, Sweet Auburn. We can look at Harlem, or we can look at Tulsa. But in the 20s and 30s, and maybe even a little earlier, when these communities were in their heyday and thriving, when we look at them and we dissect them, we see intact, self-contained communities, but the container or the walls of the container that held them together or within which they were contained was a mixture of love for ourselves, dependence on ourselves, but also white supremacy and the reality that if you took your dollars across the tracks to shop in the broader community, you could be hanged. So forced segregation, white supremacy and racism was a part of the walls of that, or a portion of the container within which we did business. Now in Tulsa, of course, you had the Native Americans coming into the black community. You had the Chinese coming into the black, because they couldn't go in the white community either.
Right.
So it wasn't just us. It was all black and brown people and yellow people who were involved in commerce. Now, when Tulsa, for instance, was attacked and bombed from the air, we still, because of our instincts and the patterns that we had already established, we started to rebuild, and in fact did in many parts rebuild the community. But the Europeans began to understand that they couldn't bomb us or burn us away from doing business and sharing with each other just because of race. In other words, they changed the script. They began to manipulate our taste and our attention and invited us to come across the tracks with our dollars.
Yes.
So integration, whatever name we would call it, began to weaken the foundations of independence. And lo and behold, without throwing a brick, in most of the communities of business excellence in the 20s and the 30s, began to disintegrate because the merchants abandoned walling us off from doing business with them, but began to invite us and entice us to come and do business with them. And when we, you know, when we bought that bitter pill, then the our communities dwindled. And so what we, I think in the 21st century, what we have to understand is that the, we have to construct abundant material of that environment of the walls of those economies, smaller economies, and give ample rewards for people doing the proper things in terms of building strong communities. And we have to mature to the level where we can, in a sophisticated way, give negative rewards where the behavior is not appropriate. And hopefully brothers and sisters understood that. Because generally, in strong communities, the leadership has the ability to give positive and negative rewards for appropriate behavior. And we have to mature to be in a position to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we can build Wall Street in the 21st century. We can build Haiti in the 21st century. It just, we have, that has to be the intent. But you also have to put in place some engineers, some thinkers and some tinkers, and compensate them to do the work that that we must do to rebuild these communities.
And it can be done. The question is, do we have the will to do it? I, on the program, I emphasized the word will a number of times in my presentations or in the beginnings. I talk about, you know, Bibi Fahodie, our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. You know, they're trying to, you know, speaking it into existence. And then in the morning, you know, I said, "We, you know, hope you can get a chance to do all the things you want to do, can do, and will do," you know, because it is about the will. Do we have the will to make, see, when Marcus Garvey said, "Up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will."
That's right.
You know, that's a fact. If we have the will to do it, we can accomplish it. There is no doubt about it. But because we have been bombarded on a 24/7 basis in this society particularly, and the technology that comes out of European society going global makes everybody else want to be in this, be a part of this, or be a part of what Caucasians do. And they, some may have understood that, but it's to your detriment to do that. Because what you're doing, you're saying, to hell with my culture, to hell with my community. I love what they bring in. I love this technology. I love their clothes. I love this and that. And you go with them. And you spend your money with them while your community continues to deteriorate. You know, I mean, here we are as African people here in America and elsewhere. We had some thriving communities. No, not across the board, but we had some good thriving communities in Rosewood and Tulsa and Elaine, Arkansas and Allentown and L.A. And every one of those communities were destroyed by Caucasians who are evil, demented, selfish, greedy, destroyed.
Yeah.
And even as you said, Baba, about Tulsa did rebuild. No, it didn't rebuild to the glory that it was. And what happened, as you stated, is that the Caucasians said, come and, you know, come over here and buy with us. Come over here and spend your money with us. So the glory of all the businesses that Tulsa had, Black Wall Street had, were no more. And I was there last year, January, right before the pandemic hit, and they're planning a commemoration at the end of May, around Memorial Day time, because it was May 31st, June 1st, 1921, that the incident happened. So they're planning that. And I just talked to one of the brothers who I had on the program, who gave us a tour, because one of the brothers who's a state rep in Tulsa, in the state of Oklahoma, he's a former firefighter, and he wanted us as American African firefighters to come to Tulsa and try to get our people to come to Tulsa, you know, for the commemoration. And one of the brothers that gave us a tour, Brother Chief Olagumi, and this brother is sharp, you know. So I seen a piece on commemorating the incident in Tulsa, and I contacted him. He, in this particular piece, you could see that, you know, there's a lot of the people who are in academia, a lot of people who are in the, you know, so, and it has John Hope Franklin's name attached to it, because John Hope Franklin lived through that as well, you know, a great historian, lived through that as well. But he said to me, he said, no, that's not the piece. He said, our piece is more culturally centered, you know, with what really happened in Tulsa. For Brother Chief Ugamawale, I'm going to be talking about that and talking with him about that. And I'm planning to go to check out the commemoration of the 100th year of the massacre of the idea. This is important, Baba Kimi. This is the 100th year of the massacre of the idea of what we can do when we pull our resources.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be this year?
This year, the weekend.
100 years.
Right, 100
okay.
years. This is the weekend of May 27th, 28th, 29th. I think it goes to 28th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, the 31st is on a Monday. But it is that weekend that they will be having those activities around. And also, too, in visiting Tulsa, they have a school, an elementary school, and the whole purpose is to teach what happened. Don't candy coat it. Don't sugarcoat it. Teach exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, how it happened, what they did. They got classrooms. They got even streets in the corridors of the school named after, you know, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. You know,
right.
You know, so... You know, and the reality is we all need to know and we all need to learn what happened. I know there's been some video, particularly, you know, excuse me, I'm getting a little brain dead here, but, you know, it's a couple of movies that are out recently, and the one I'm trying to think of, they had a piece of it in on Tulsa, you
okay.
know, and then another group, they had a animated piece on what happened in Tulsa, you know. So I mean, all of that is good, and we need to know that. We need to know what happened, but more importantly, we need to know what we can do, not necessarily to revive Tulsa, but to go beyond Tulsa.
Beyond Tulsa.
Yeah.
I'd like to give an analogy or kind of a mind piece, and I may have mentioned this to you before, Ocean, for you, you know, forgive me for repeating it, but if the listeners could just picture what I'm about to say. In Alaska, the Inuit and other Aboriginal or Native people to that land, there are some villages where traditionally or historically they would go to the rivers and do what they could do to capture fish and bring them back into the village and share the fish, the catch. But at a point, some of the members of the village thought through and created a mechanism that would fish the river on behalf of the community. And you can Google these. These are called fish wheels, Alaskan fish wheels. Mm. So the genius of the villagers, they built machinery. In other words, think of a paddle boat on the Mississippi, this paddle on the back of a paddle boat. So they built a contraption like that, a paddle. And they built it on a sled. And in between the paddles, they put baskets. And when they finished it, and it was just so, they would push it to the river, put the paddle out in the river, then have other parts of the mechanism on land, and they would cement it or bolt it, anchor it into the ground. And so the current of the river would push against the paddles and begin to get this paddle spinning. And because of the current of the river, it never stopped. It continued to spin. But in between the paddles, they would put baskets that fish would swim into. And as the paddle rotated, it would bring the baskets up. The fish would drop into a chute and end up in a catch basin. And so the fishermen of those communities, the only thing they had to do to feed the community with fish is to go out and grab the catch basin and bring it back into the town, because they had produced, manufactured, and perfected a system that fished for them 24/7. See, that's Ulu in a nutshell. So what we want to do is produce a machinery that puts itself into the flow of commerce and captures and redirects some of those dollars and bring them into our environment so that we can do the things that sustain community, build community, protect community, because we know we got to protect it. But the feat now is to think as an engineer, as those brothers and sisters in those communities up in Alaska thought through how they could create a machinery that would fish for them 24/7, so they could give their attention to something else, because they didn't have to give their attention to, you know, the fish, because the machinery took care of them. So the only thing they had to do was just maintain the machinery. So I just wanted to share that mind picture with brothers and sisters. And so when we talk about Black Wall Street in the 21st century, we have to know and be assured that most of our people ain't on that tip. They ain't concerned about that. But some few of us, if we produce the machinery, our people won't have a choice. They'll end up participating in their own salvation just because of their buying patterns, just because of any number of things. And we don't want to put a referendum to our people. We want to build the machinery that allows it to happen. Another, if I could, just to think through a forklift, and most of us know what a forklift is. Even sisters, I would think, know what a forklift is. This is a piece of machinery that lifts things, heavy loads in a warehouse. But one of the things about a forklift, generally, you must put the forks of the lift at the base. You must put it on the ground or on the floor. And then you must strategically place it underneath the load. And then you must carefully bring it up and keep it balanced. And when you do, then you're able to move the load and place it wherever you want to. So those of us concerned and maybe obsessed with sovereignty for our people have got to build the machinery So think of the fish wheel, think of the forklift, but it's not so much convincing the brothers and sisters of what we must do and what we can do. Yes, you do that, but some few of us have got to build the machinery, and we may have to forsake certain other things that we may want to be involved in, and we may have to go to the woods, so to speak, or get out of the limelight to take the time and the patience to build these machinery and tools that our people can use to do much of what it is that we talk about, but we don't really have the capacity to perform.
Yeah. Wow. Brother Baba Kimi, we're up at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. But when we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation with Baba Kimi of Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
Oh, everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother.
Simply call us sweet, wear our hair long.
Mother, mother.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And that is followed from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. There are many callers in the queue, so all you have to do is press star twice. And if you want to have a conversation with our guest, Baba Akima, Baba Akima, I appreciate you being with us today to talk to us about the conference of Us Lifting Us this past weekend and the future of Us Lifting Us, and how important it is that we understand, you know, how important it is that we become members and pull our resources and do for ourselves. You know, it's vitally important. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not just yet. I mean, it's a do or die situation.
Yeah.
We often say there's a clear choice. We either control the economics of our own community or forever be at the mercy of others. And so that's the choice we have. And it is a choice. It's nothing that there's really not a lot standing in our way except what we used to call FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt.
That's the thing. It is right there. The question is, as we said in the first part of the program, do we have the will? Can we develop the will to do it? You know, and what I like about Us Lifting Us, I become a member of Us Lifting Us. You know, in fact, one of our brothers is on the queue right now who helped me become a member of Us Lifting Us, Baba Tony Courtney. Baba Tony Courtney, how you doing?
Brother, how you doing there?
Hey, man.
Hey, Brother Team Baba, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It's good hearing your voice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Boy, Chicago and Milwaukee in the house.
That's right. you're in Charlotte?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina now for another 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks and then where?
Back to Milwaukee.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
Yeah, I got some unfinished business there, so we decided to be snowbirds. We came down here Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been down here ever since, you know, helping our children out with the grandchildren, giving them a chance to get a break. And with the teenagers, we got some of them that's graduating. So we know how that is.
All right. That's but I thought you had moved to Charlotte permanently.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Our kids are down here, though. They moved here permanently.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say to you and your children and your grandchildren, don't mess my hometown up. That's where I was born and raised.
Is that
okay?
Right? All right. Yeah. You know, in fact, Baba Tony, we were talking the other day about how long we've known each other. And we've known each other since the early 70s at the Topographical Research Center and playing ball at Malcolm X People's Park. We've known each other quite a while. I met you, Baba Keeman, in 80 when you got out, and you and Tamu, when you got out that situation in Mississippi, you know, and been impressed ever since. And so when Tony told me about Us Lifting Us and you involved, I definitely jumped on board right away, you know. But number one, I believe in us doing for ourselves. I believe in pulling our resources, you know, and doing for ourselves and having businesses within our community that we support, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, Tony and I go back further than that.
Right.
Y'all talk about basketball. Man, he and his brother and, and others, man, used to rough me up in basketball.
Oh, yeah, they know, they wasn't no joke, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They play hard, man. They play like they're gangs in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago, man. I remember Five were trying to rough me up a little bit there, man. Yeah, it's good, good brothers.
But the beauty of it all, we've always swam in the same water. About do for self, black power, black self-determination, you know, even with the African-centered school that Brother Tony was associated with. But, you know, we were part of the heart of the African-centered community there in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And but an extension, well, maybe not, this is not fair, but for those of us who first got involved in Chicago, you know, a lot of what was happening in Chicago kind of spilled over into Milwaukee as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we have other callers. If you want to get on this conversation, hit star twice, and I'll let you in on the conversation. We have one holding here. 334-334, good afternoon. 334-334. 334, okay, maybe just 646.
Oh, sorry, hello.
Oh, okay, Brother Lus, how you doing?
Yeah, sorry, I was in mute. Okay. Good evening, good afternoon to you and your guests. I have a question that maybe you could help me out with. You know, and with the latest event that just happened overnight or 2 days ago now with the incidents with the Asian communities and the spas, et cetera.
Here in Atlanta.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. How is it that we, talking about black people, had gotten away from those kinds and types of businesses? Now, it's the strangest thing to me that we have the barbering, we have the beauty salons, but apparently, somehow or another, we, especially for sisters, supporting those kinds of types of businesses, how is it that we got away from that?
Let me understand the question. From what I understand, and I haven't looked at it intensely, but from what I understand, these were massage parlors. Is that what you're...
Right, and spas, yes.
And spas.
Okay, well...
And nail salons.
Well, yeah, there were salons where they did nails and pedicures and manicures, not so much as massages, but pedicures and manicures. For some strange reason, I would have thought that we would have been able to help us, buy us, in those kinds and types of industries. But somehow or another, those businesses wound up in the black community. And so I'm just kind of wondering, where is the disconnect in this?
Well, I think in terms of Asians and other groups coming into our communities and doing business, culturally, we haven't been prepared to build firewalls and protect our turf, and because we haven't thought of it as turf. And but I think you're pointing to a weakness in our culture, and we do have to understand that. You know, commerce and business is combat, is war. And if we're to win overall, we have to define our territory, protect our territory at all cost. And you point to an area of weakness in our culture. Now, I know in Atlanta, you know, we have several black-owned nail salons and spas, but not, you know, but there's room for other cultures to come in and take money out of our communities as well. And so you point to something that's very real. We got to do better at understanding that we can't do well if our pockets are picked by other cultures coming in and setting up shop, and we transferring all our, or much of our wealth to them to be taken out of our community. So thank you for the question.
And you know...
Yeah,
No, go ahead.
Because of the fact that it's almost obvious when especially when you have sisters supporting that kind of business. Just, I mean, it's as though you're just attracted to it there than it would be other businesses. And I'm just kind of curious, if we want to try to reestablish that Black Wall Street, quote unquote, there's got to be some things that we know that we should not be doing. And so, but it's as though without thinking, we just go ahead on and support it anyway. I just was curious about what your thoughts were on that. Thank you.
All right, Brother Lus. Appreciate you listening.
Let me make another comment on that, if I would.
Sure.
And of course, the three of us that are on the line with Tony can give testament to this. When I moved to Wisconsin, I think it was in 67, 68, in that time frame, the Christmas, my first Christmas in Milwaukee, there was a campaign called Around Black Christmas.
Yes.
And the community was encouraged not to go to Wisconsin Avenue, which was the main shopping thoroughfare, and shop. And from what I remember, it was very successful. Not in part because folk knew that if they took their dollars to Wisconsin Avenue, they were going to get their butt spanked.
Mm-hmm.
It was out in the community. Not only should you not take your dollars, but you better not take your dollars. And so there was the capacity on the part of the community to kind of police our spending habits and our spending patterns. Mm-hmm. And the commandos were in place, and other groups, I'm sure, that that the word went out far and wide. Of course, after Christmas, you know, we went right back.
Back to business as usual. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, I wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brother Love. Thank you, man. Continue to listen. Appreciate you. Yeah. 678-678-628. Good afternoon. 678. All right. They open up the Cuba day. Okay. One of the problems, you know, that I see is that because of the society we live in, America, which perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. You know, all of these things are antithetic to unity, family. All these things, you know, and as a consequence, we unfortunately have embraced this mentality. And you think about what's in it for me. How can I get mine? How can I get over? That's why you see the situation with us in terms of family, in terms of relationships, in terms of children, is so fragmented, you know. And to me, a program such as Us Lifting Us would give an example of what we can do. You know, we do have these models, but we need to have the model today. We need to make sure that it's happening today so our people can see that what we can do and what we must do to, you know, to support ourselves and provide jobs for us, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Us Lifting Us, you know, our blueprint calls for any number of things. And as you know, Oshie, also well, because you were involved in it, we incubated or initiated a project here in Atlanta, Cafe Ulu. The business was open for 2 years and it failed, but it was a Groupon enterprise. And if we hadn't closed it when it closed, COVID certainly would have closed it, but there really is no excuse for failure. But we have to acknowledge it. So we have a few other projects on the board, and those will come to life. And we have a real estate project on the board, a real estate investment project that will basically focus on single family units and, you know, maybe duplexes. We have another one on the board that will be in cyberspace, in other words, an online business model called the Trade Basket. And then we also have one where we want to corner off a piece of the cryptocurrency market, a black owned, engineered cryptocurrency, and we want to get a piece of that rock as a part of our portfolio. That probably will happen fairly quickly within, probably within the next 60, 90 days or so.
Baba, excuse me. That being the case, can you come back on the program and we'll dedicate the program to making sure our community understands what that means and how it functions, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And I want to speak to two other projects that are in Ghana, one of which is already kind of in motion. It's a furniture manufacturing business out of tires, discarded tires. Mm. And so they're focusing on capturing waste and turning it into usable products. And then their long-range goal is to turn discarded plastics into construction bricks, both for highway construction or road construction, and also bricks for building houses. And so there are several examples on the African continent. But our members in Almena, part of Ghana, are focused on recycling waste material first into furniture and then into construction elements, bricks, pavers for roads, and bricks for homes. And so, most of, of course, those of you who have been to Africa know about the plastics and how
terrible.
It is really bad. This is yet another solution for turning that waste material into something productive and creating businesses and jobs in the process.
I see. 678-678, good afternoon. Go ahead. 678. Somehow.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Grand Rising, brothers. How you doing, Baba?
I'm doing fine, brother. How you doing today? All right.
Doing great. I just wanted to call in, and I've been listening since y'all got on, and the information, it's emotional to me, man. I'm sitting here at my desk at work, and just receiving just from the clip from W.E.B. Du Bois, just from when you played that, and hearing that, it lit a fire under me. You know what I mean? And it just it makes me glad that I'm tapped into the elders in my generation to really just feed me what I need to know. And I understand the sacrifice that y'all made and those before us made so that we could really get real liberation. And I know that struggle is a real one. And so I'm in the fight with you. And I just wanted to say thank you for this program. This needs to be national to me. So I'm just
well, I tell you, you can listen to this program anywhere because we got folks listening in Africa, sister from Botswana and Ghana, and my good brother Paul out in the UK. So the bottom line is you are, and you keep spreading that word, and I appreciate it very much that you're listening, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But, yeah, young brothers like himself is an inspiration for all of us. And so thank you for calling, and thank you for expressing what you have. And just stay in place, and continue to build with us. Right. Thank you.
602, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Good afternoon, Brother Marcus. Yes. This is Brother Marcus from Jamaica, but he lives here in the States. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. With the Ulu, with the coffee, with the you had a brick and mortar thing there in Atlanta, you see.
Yes.
Did the leadership ever thought about transitioning to like online sales? Because you guys still have the coffee. Still have the coffee link from Africa. So was that anywhere in there, like transitioning to online sales for your coffee as a another model?
Well, thank you for the question. In order for us to be competitive with online sales of coffee, we would have had to establish a middle link to be a roaster. To be competitive, you really do have to purchase the green beans and purchase them by the container and then be able to roast them and then market them. And so we were never able to build the capacity so that we could be competitive. There is an online source for coffee that is produced by us. It's called Sweet Unity Farms out of Kenya. David Robertson, Jackie Robertson's son. So I purchase coffee from them from time to time. But there are probably other online purveyors of African coffee that we could identify. Now, in Ulu, we are going to build an online marketplace. As I mentioned before, it will be called the Trade Basket. And part of what we want to focus on is doing exactly what you say, is making available coffees, teas, cocos, and other products that are produced by us. But this is going to be a little while before that platform is built. But you mentioned something that's very important, and sometimes we don't realize it, that coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world. The only commodity that outperforms coffee is oil or petroleum. And with coffee, the original coffee plant is said to be an Ethiopian plant. And so it's at the base is African people, other people involved as well. But a whole lot of our people are still involved in growing and processing the coffee. And some of us are involved in worldwide distribution as well. But thank you for that. And we will be back into coffee with our Trade Basket, marketing it online.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, brothers and sisters, 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, OC? What's happening to you, to your guests, man?
Hey, Jay. Jay, you still with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had saw a post earlier today where the Ghanaian people say are cutting off the Swiss from the cocoa. Now, that's a beautiful thing, but that's a dangerous, dangerous thing because, you know, the Swiss will cause major, major problems and, you know, faces of the queen and her family and the
Jay, you're breaking up on me really bad. I like what you're saying. Give me a call back.
Can you hear me better?
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the Swiss and the Europeans and the rest of them, the Belgians who really have made billions and billions and billions off of our people with this cocoa, going to be very upset with the Ghanaian government, and you don't know what may happen over there. There may be some serious destabilization in Ghana soon with this action, because I don't think them crackers gonna take this too lightly, bro.
Well, let me tell you this, Jay. I could give less than a rat's about how they're gonna take it, because the bottom line is, hold on, I understand what you're saying. There may come a point in time that we may have to be hurt for a minute to overcome what we have been experiencing for far too long. We may have to take that hit, take that hurt, and to rebuild. We must control that. I'll never forget. I'm sitting in a cocoa farm. I don't call it a plantation. I'm sitting in a cocoa farm in Ghana, and I'm looking at all of this stuff that is being, every bit of that raw material goes to Europe, goes to Nestle's, goes to Hershey's, goes to Cadbury's and whatever. And then, and especially big in the next couple of weeks because it's Easter. huge. The amount of money they'll make is huge. But yet, yep. the foundation is here. And so what Ghana was saying is that if you don't increase what you pay for this raw material, then, you know, you can't deal with it. And that's the bottom line.
Well, hey, listen, you know me. I support it 100%. But I'm just saying our people are going to have to be prepared to die.
Well,
because that cracker go do some destabilization, some mass killing, a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, we'll see.
To get them Africans back in line, because you know our people sometimes they really get it twisted. Now you know our good brother here right now, that you have on the phone, good brother. But I still can't get over the fact that he's not on Time for the Waking and still on YouTube. I mean, brother, you got to, you know, we spoke about this before. You got to lean at you
well,
and
they,
get with African well, people.
They, oh, listen, Brother Jay, on his behalf, I know we've talked about that, and they're definitely planning on making that move back to Time for an Awakening or an African platform. Yes, they are on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night, tomorrow night on Blog Talk radio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win.
Oshie, my beautiful brother, please don't do a commercial for you. Please. We got to be principled, bro.
Well,
don't
listen.
Do no commercial for no Jew. Even though I love the brother, I respect the brother. I'm just saying. Come on, man. We spoke
listen,
about this.
Hold on, Jay.
It's all love.
Okay. And believe me, it is. I'm going to mute you here.
No, I know.
Because the bottom line is that wherever the information that there is for us to ingest to help us to liberate ourselves, to be independent, to be self-determining, and ultimately sovereign, we must get it. And so on Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern time, us lifting us. And the number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. I hear you, Jay, but we got to get this information out. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be a conduit, to enlighten our people, to motivate and inspire our people, to get us to think independently, to get us to think sovereignty, you know, and that ain't easy, as you know. That ain't easy, Jay. Just hit star twice and you can join this conversation. A lot of people are here on hold. Hit star twice and you can join this conversation. Baba Akima.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. You know, how many members do we have now in Us Lifting Us?
Maybe around 605 or so. But we have a structure where we can have millions. And so that's the impetus. And, of course, I want to say I appreciate the spirit of Jay.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I do,
yeah,
too.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, that's the spirit that gives birth to this new creature that we're trying to bring into being, you know, a people who will not accept anything other than us being having dominion. Especially of our continent, but if not the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to acknowledge that spirit in that brother, and I don't ever want to dampen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a little over 600 members, but some of our members are institutions that have more members than ULU. See, ULU is a fairly unique structure. It's a business formation, and membership is individuals and institutions and global. We have a few members in Canada, Europe, East Africa, West Africa, you know, South Africa, the Caribbean, but we can have members all over. And the notion is that as members and partners in this business enterprise, we pool our resources. And the idea is that we would create businesses that we all own together. And these businesses would provide needed goods and services, create jobs, and ultimately, our hope is that they will be successful and produce a surplus. And the surplus goes back into the enterprise to fund other projects. And the goal, And of course, there's a percentage that members receive who qualify directly as a direct benefit or dividend. But the overall goal is to build a process that incubates and supports hundreds and eventually thousands of businesses that we own as a collective. Of course, the name is Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And so all of the businesses we own together, if the business is in Ghana or if the business is in Atlanta, it doesn't matter in terms of ownership because all of us own it collectively and can benefit collectively. But the main goal is to fortify the brothers and sisters in the local community with jobs, with providing the needed goods and services. And a portion of our success also supports charity or the nonprofit sector. You know, and my passion is to support the African-centered schools and other institutions around our youth. And we're looking at examples in the world where similarly constituted institutions do in excess of $15, $20 billion a year in gross revenue and employ up to 100,000 people. So it's not like it's something that has not been done. It just hadn't been done in our community. And we really haven't thought about what does it mean for us to practice Ujamaa, cooperative economics, pooling our resources, building businesses that we own collectively, because if we don't own them collectively, we can't profit from them collectively. Mm-hmm. But not to isolate ourselves from our already existing businesses and institutions. So we want to integrate what ULU is able to produce with the already existing businesses in our community. And some businesses in our communities are members of ULU. And so that's the big picture. The big picture is to produce the machinery of economic self-determination. In other words, I'll give another analogy, you know, if it's time to produce a horseless carriage or an automobile, then part of the, in other words, if someone decides that they want to produce a horseless carriage for every household in America, somebody's got to build the assembly line. Somebody's got to look at the logistics of it all. And so it's not just enough to want to be independent. What are the mechanisms, the tools, institutions that you must put in place before or initially so that our desire to be independent and self-determining has a track to run on? So that's what we're building. We're in our eighth year, but we're still in diapers. We're still young. We're still finding our way. We've made some strides, but there's a long way to go. And so we're building this institution for our babies and for future generations. Those of us like myself in our 60s and 70s and 80s and a part of the leadership, some of us are in our 70s and 80s, we know we're not building it for ourselves in the sense that we would realize the tangible fruits. But it's of great benefit when you see the machinery coming into being, and that's the. I remember Amos Wilson would say very often that a good idea is one of the most tangible elements that you can have.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't appreciate the meta math. In other words, the work that has to go into engineering the tools, right. the institutions.
Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Greetings, can you hear me?
Go ahead, yes, go ahead.
Okay, greetings to Brother Hakima. I really, really enjoyed what I could of the conference this past weekend, and I'm hoping as a member, and I've been a member, I think, now 3 or 4 years now, to be able to see the recordings that I missed. I just wanted to add that we're working on a bridge between Ulu concept of economics with the Pan-African Federalist Movement back in August 2018. I presented a paper that was generated by Ulu in terms of looking at this model for economics for when we unify Africa as one, to look at that model of economics. And we're still working on it. And I talked to Brother IT. Hopefully we'll get a revised copy to get out to the Executive Committee of International Pan-African Federalist Movement's financial department, so they can really get a chance to look at it. So I just wanted to add that, and just want to thank Hakima for what he does. Comes up with all these brilliant ideas, and we're moving on them. And like he said, this is for our children and our children's children to come. We're setting the seed that has to blossom into way like what happened in IT in North Carolina and other sustainable communities. So thank you for this time.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, sis. You know, your inspiration is always there and consistent. And I kind of forgot about that paper. I'm going to reach back out to you, and we can revise that and connect with the Federation in a more substantial way. Thank you, sis.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, because I look at the Pan-African Federalist Movement. I'm a member of that also. I promote that consistently. But I look at Us Lifting Us as the economic arm of that movement, because we have to have a different economics as opposed to the economics of the West, of the European. We must have a different economics. We must have an economics that is based on what we have had as African people of the past, which was cooperative. You know, I mean, it wasn't like some person or one small group has it all at the expense of everybody else. This capitalist system is an evil system.
Yes. That is.
Yeah, it is an evil system. And it's something that, I mean, once again, as I stated early in the beginning of the program, America is about individualism, materialism, you know, greed, and violence. And as a consequence, you know how violent it is, because the people who have experienced the most violence in this society since we've been brought here is us. And who experienced the most violence towards ourselves is us. You know?
Ashe.
See, so we have to think about all these things and put this information out. Hopefully our people will begin to embrace it, and more importantly, begin to act on it. And it'll only happen when we develop the will to make it happen, you know, because, you know, individualism is a European, Caucasian, white desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. It is the only way, you know. You know, when we talk about solutions, when people say, well, let's have some solutions, there is only but one solution. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty is the only solution. We're dealing with a people who suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, and ain't a damn thing that we can do or say otherwise. In fact, even though there's so much information to prove otherwise, they dismiss it, they ignore it. They're superior. In fact, the Caucasian woman, Dr. D'Angelo, coined the term white fragility. When the situations were happening with Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and so forth, she started doing workshops for Caucasians, explaining to them how they are and what's happening. They didn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, you know, about them taking people's land. They don't want to hear about them moving people from one part of the country to the other part of the country in the Trail of Tears. They don't want to hear about what they've done to us and consistently and still do to us. They don't want to hear because to them, they're good people. They're Christian people. In fact, the world should be thanking them for bringing this to the world. That's their mentality. But they also have the mentality. There's three things. There's the cognitive dissonance, the Caucasian fragility, and hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And that's the mentality that Europeans have. That's what I'm saying. There ain't a damn thing that we can do or say to change that. The only thing that we need to change is ourselves. We need to change ourselves and how we think, how we behave, how we work with one another. Because, you know, this idea of we're all in this together. No, we ain't. 646, go ahead.
Hey, Odio, let me ask you and the brother a question. In all realness in this, based on what we are dealing with, tell me, what is ours? What is ours that the white man don't control that we are willing to die and take for? What is ours? Seriously.
The only thing that is ours is the continent. We talk about the world and so forth, but the continent is ours. We come from the continent. In fact, humanity came from the continent, but it's ours. And that's, to me, is the only thing that I would fight and die. I wouldn't fight and die for this damn thing. That's for damn sure.
Jay,
you broke up on me. I want to hear that. So go ahead. You broke up on me. Say it again, please.
If that's the case, shouldn't we be on a continuous case of inflicting the South African burning neckties on these crackers? I mean, shouldn't we be about the business of revolution 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days? I mean, the reality is this. The white man took it through brutalization and death. And that's the only way we're going to get it back. If you think you're going to get it back any other way, then I think you're kind of delusional. Because the reality is the cracker ain't going to give you a damn thing. He's doing everything in his power to get rid of your black ass. So if that's the case, don't you think we need to start changing our ways of thinking and just saying the hell with it, let's die, in order to get to the point to get back what is ours? Because let me tell you something. The white man willing to die to keep it. So why aren't you willing to die to take it back? Because the way we going about it now, man, we ain't never going to get it back. I'll just give you a quick example. You know, they had this incident where you're at in Atlanta yesterday with this sick, twisted Yoruba, deprived, degenerate, going out there killing these Asians or whatever. Let me ask you this question, in all sincerity and honesty. Do the Asians ever prep for Africans? Ain't the Asians going over to these places where African people are, taking their resources, killing and imprisoning African men and not hiring African men? Listen, man, we gotta realize these people are our damn enemies, man. I don't give a damn about cracker killing some Asian.
Jay,
that's not my issue.
Jay, you know, as Dr. Clark said, we have no friends.
Thank
you. Don't. Dr. Clark said we have no... Dr. Clark has been dead almost 20 years, over 20 years. We have
That's
no
right.
friends. He said, you want a friend? Go look in a mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. He ain't talking about the your arched eyebrows or the cleft in your damn chin. He's talking about like who you see historically, like who you see culturally, like your dark skin, your broad nose. And when you see that on you, you see it in others, and you like them too. You love them too. That's our problem, because the European knows what he's doing. I agree with you to an extent. He knows what he is doing in terms of putting into us self-hate and doubt and ignorance. He knows what he's doing in that respect. We got another caller, Jay. Hold on, brother, okay? 478-478. Good afternoon.
Peace, family. How y'all doing?
Doing well, my brother. How are you?
Good. All is well. All is well. This is Sincere. I'm enjoying the
Brother Sincere
conversation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sincere. This is one of our local poets and one of the most righteous brothers, a good family man, a good model. Bro, go ahead, Brother Sincere.
Yes, Bob Oshie. I'm really enjoying the conversation, and I want to point out a couple of things. Wearing the military uniform and understanding what has happened in our past. I want to put something on everybody's mind from the mental aspect, and the game has changed. That white supremacy thought process, they want to draw us into physical wars, but it has been for a long period of time, a mental one. So we have to get our mental faculties in place so we can, when it comes down to the fight, we're mentally prepared and ready and able to. But we have to understand the strength of the machine and what type of fight they want to pull us into. So we have to be smarter than that. We always have been, and we always will be.
Ashe.
And that's what's going to allow us to get to our next level.
Ashe. All right, dear brother. Thank you. Continue to listen, my brother. Peace.
Yeah. Hey, peace and love. Thank you.
All right. Baba Kima?
Yeah, he said it. Everything starts in the mind. You know, that's the seed. And if our desire is to win, then we have to win at every level. So I appreciated that comment and that spirit. And so I just say Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Yeah. Well, yeah. For me, I always said that I wouldn't, lift a finger to stay here to battle these Caucasians for this madness. I wouldn't. It's insanity. I wouldn't. But I would fight to the death for the continent, which is ours. That is our salvation. That is something that we really need to begin to understand. That's why I'm a supporter of us lifting us. I'm a supporter of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. I'm a supporter of any movement that talks about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. The model of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. There's no other solution, And I know we try to come up with them and we think that somehow that things will get better. Things are getting better. No, it ain't. Our situation really today at this particular time is worse off than it was 50 years ago. Especially
Brother
when you
Oshie, yes. There's an exercise I would ask brothers and sisters to take themselves through. And the question is, if you had 100,000 capable and resourceful brothers and sisters under your command and leadership, what would you command and lead them in doing? So a lot of times we say things out of our mouths in terms of what should be done, what ain't being done. But if you take yourself through that exercise, if you had 100,000 capable and resourceful brothers and sisters under your command and leadership, what would you command and lead them in doing? So when you answer that question for yourself, then it should shape your thinking, because you put yourself in the role of being the general and all of these resources under your command. What would you command and lead and provide leadership for that energy? So I think it's a good exercise. And if people are serious about that exercise, then it may change the way they think and what they say.
Yeah. Well, our time, unfortunately, Baba Kima, is up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Went fast.
That's right. Well, that's having so much fun. The Black Wall Street Legacy Festival, the website is not up yet. That is and the commemoration is going to be May 28th through the 31st. And the contact person is Dr. Tiffany Crutcher. She's significant. Dr. Tiffany Crutcher is significant because her father was Terrence Crutcher, who was killed by the police in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was a Caucasian police officer, female, that shot him in the back and killed him. She got another job as a police officer in another county. It's just like that Caucasian who jumped out the car in Cleveland and just right away shot and killed Tamir Rice. He got another job as a police officer in another county. So, you know, so the Black Wall Street Legacy Festival is, you know, is the website will be up, and I'll, and once it's up, I'll make sure that you all know about it and hopefully find some way to support it. Baba Kima, any last words, brother? Appreciate you.
I just want to encourage you to stay in the saddle and continue to bring our minds and our hearts together, and the video clip that you played, you know, we've done it in the past and we will do it again. I'll just say this in closing, the energy, the genius, the wisdom that built the pyramids.
That's right.
It never left us.
That's right. It still flows through our veins. That's right, Ashe.
It's there.
It's there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Baba Kima. Also, too, I want to thank Baba Tony Courtney. He said some things about me that were very, just touched my heart. He said that since he's known me, I've been the way that I am. And so, Baba Tony, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. I want to thank you for that, man. I appreciate you. And, you know, much, much love and respect, brother. Believe me. And I always support you.
And I want to get Brother Akima's phone number. I want to send him something as well.
Okay. So you just hang on and I'll get that for you, okay?
Okay, brother.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.